In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you never did abandon us and came and sent your beloved Son to rescue us. A rescue that takes place because that requires, first of all, that we would believe in him, as he said, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And so we ask, especially in this reflection, that you would enlighten us about the virtue of hope, and that you would bless us with a deeper sense of hope as we live in a world that is very difficult and confusing, and we experience many things in our lives that are confusing. And we pray through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Prompt Succor, Saint Joseph, Saint Faustina, Blessed Dina, and all your saints, in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. And so the theme of these reflections will be on hope. And it so happens that when Pope Benedict spoke about the importance of this virtue of hope in 2005 when he addressed the Mexican bishops in Rome. And this is what he says: hope means reminding Christians that God never abandons his people and is alive and active in the world. So we will use Psalm 40, even though, as St. Augustine says, the Psalms are about hope. This is the beginning of the Psalm, the first verse. I waited and waited for Yahweh. Now at last he has stooped to me and heard my cry for help. Let us for a moment reflect on the word wait. This word has to become part of our reflection. Waiting and hope are intermingled, they're connected together, because hope means that we do not have what we need at the present time, and yet we are willing to wait for it to be given to us. And the psalmist repeats the word, I waited and waited for Yahweh. The opposite of waiting is to seek for immediate solutions to our problems. And we see this happening today. And this is all contrary to the virtue of hope. course, we live in a world of society of credit cards. We don't have to wait till we have the money in order to buy what we need. And we apply this to our spiritual life as well. We like to get what we need immediately. And so we find that waiting is not the solution, that so we wait for peace, for comfort, and for a solution to our weaknesses, and then we find gurus, because there are many of them, who have great ideas for us, or seemingly great ideas. And so we go into the New Age, and we also get involved with addictions that we use as a means as an antiseptic, as it were, or rather as something to kill the pain. We don't want that pain. We don't feel that we need to endure whatever we are enduring. And we want it solved, and we want it solved now. But when we speak about hope, we speak of a solution that is coming. In the Psalm 23, it says, "Even though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil." It's amazing that one would walk in a valley of darkness and not fear any evil. Well, that is only possible if one has hope. And if we contemplate the life of Jesus, we could see that waiting was part of his life. Even from the very beginning, they had to wait to find a place for him to be born. They didn't get the quick solution of an inn where they would be welcomed. And then Jesus, when he was 12, went to the temple. He was ready to speak, to ask the right questions and give the right answers. But he had to come back home to be obedient to his parents. And he was, as tradition says, he was 30 years old before he was allowed to begin his public life. Then when he started his public life, many did not accept the message that he was proclaiming, the good news that he was offering. And on Good Friday, of course, he had to wait again. After saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He continued in the psalm to say, saying that our fathers hoped in you and you rescued them. And so his waiting paid off, we could say, on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to know how to wait. Again, when we, the opposite of being willing to wait and to hope, therefore, is that we will seek quick solutions and even addictions. Addictions, in many ways, are a refusal to accept pain. The pain that we all have to endure before we experience the full healing of our hearts. But one can't wait. I need this now, we say. I can't live without this. We can also add, people can't wait to make their public commitment to marriage either. They cannot wait, they say. And so they risk, really, that their marriage will never work because they're not willing to wait. And so, again, waiting has to become part of our way of life. Mention another occasion of waiting. The apostles were very confused, obviously, after, because of the crucifixion, and even the resurrection left them somewhat confused. And yet they knew they had a great mission to accomplish. But Jesus said, wait for the power that the Father will give you. And so they waited. Now we might say waiting means we do nothing. We just sit there and wait. Well, this is a heresy called quietism. Waiting is a very active way of life. When we take medicine, when we want, we let's say we take antibiotics, for example, the infection is still there. And we have to finish the antibiotics before the infection disappears.